behind the scenes at Score North and 1500 ESPN have sports opinions.
So they want you to hear them.
It's the perfect digital sports soapbox to scratch that Minnesota sports itch. This is the Score North Taxi Squad.
It's not about the Kohl's cash. It's about what the Kohl's cash represents. Welcome into the Score North Taxi Squad, everyone. My name is Jason Stormer, joined along with Artis Woods and AJ Fredrickson. Guys, how are you doing this week? Not a whole lot to talk about with Minnesota sports. It's not like the NFL free agency opened up or anything, and news dropped about exactly what will be happening to Kirk Cousins. Obviously, we know exactly what happened. 4 years, $180 million, $100 million of that guaranteed. Guys, how you doing? Also, just what were your reactions when you heard the news about Kirk Cousins, even though I know we all kind of thought that it was inevitability that he was on his way out of Minnesota?
Thank goodness it's over. And not in the sense that, like, I'm glad he's gone, like, good riddance. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm glad the saga is over, because we've been stuck in this, like, weird football off-season middle ground where it's like we know what's going to happen, but not really, or we're unsure about it. The will they, won't they, will Pim and Jim and Pam get together, and then we have to wait till like season 7 for him to officially like break up with Roy. Like, let's just get Damn to it, the Roy. Point here. So we know he's going. He's there. He's signed. He's gone. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, more in depth on all of our like deep feelings about this. But for the sake of, like, we have now a definitive answer. And now, as Viking fans, we can look ahead and speculate. And now we are in a new era. And what this means for Kwesi and KOC and potentially the NFL draft. Artis, what was your reaction?
I was stunned. I mean, I wasn't stunned at the fact that he left the Vikings. I kind of assumed that was going to happen. But $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. Wow.
Yeah.
I am so happy to not be a Falcons fan on a day like today. The funniest thing I saw on X when the trade went down, there was a Falcons fan that got retweeted to my timeline. He said he was so hurt he had to pull over.
Oh, poor
he
man.
He was so hurt. He had to pull over on the side of the road and just get his thoughts together, get his mind together.
That's a true fan right there. I appreciate that guy.
And it's not about Kirk, the player. I just think it's more about the money and the fact that he's getting older. He's fresh off an Achilles tear. I'm glad the Vikings didn't make that move and didn't pay him that amount of money. I mean, we talked about this earlier, Jason. You asked if it was BS or not, and I'm like, no way anybody's going to pay that amount of money. And sure enough, the man is a genius. The man, he gets paid. Get your paper. Get paid.
Yes,
I'm not mad at it, but I'm happy it wasn't the Vikings, you know, and I'm really pleased with what they've done so far in free agency. I'm sure we'll get to that. But overall, just stunned.
Yeah, I'm wearing my I'm feeling lucky t-shirt, not only because St. Patty's Day is just right around the corner, lads and lasses, but also I'm just glad that we did not commit that amount of money and that many years to a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a season-ending Achilles injury who has only won one playoff game in his entire career. Good for Kirk, of course. I encouraged him to go out and get that bag, take care of generations of Cousins for several years to come. He absolutely did that, and now the Atlanta Falcons are all of a sudden a contender within their division. They're a much better team now. That division is pretty bad. I mean, if you exclude the Buccaneers, really, I don't know what's happening with the Panthers or the Saints, really. So, in a weird way, guys, you could make an argument that the pasture is a little bit greener now for Kirk Cousins in Atlanta as opposed to Minnesota. Now I know he had Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison's obviously a developing player. But if you consider just where Atlanta's defense is currently, the even offensive pieces that they have, I mean, I know we'll talk about maybe the running back that the Vikings added as well, but they got Bijan Robinson down there. That's obviously that's going to be the best running back Kirk Cousins might ever have, to be honest with you. Kyle Pitts, maybe they can finally find the potential within Kyle Pitts. Finally, I don't know if he's actually, there was a story about Kyle Pitts maybe having to negotiate with Kirk about giving up that number 8 a little bit. I think Kirk's been number 8 his entire career, and maybe he'll have to negotiate with Kyle Pitts about that a little bit too. So yeah, as many people are talking about, oh, Kirk, you know, you're not going to have it better off in Minnesota. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that maybe Kirk was looking throughout this entire negotiation and thinking, you know what, maybe I actually have a better chance winning with Atlanta than I do Minnesota. Which I know it's not by a lot. I don't think that
you're playing
the Falcons
in an easier division.
Yeah, I don't think the Falcons are head and shoulders above the Minnesota Vikings. But in terms of like current playoff contenders, I think the Falcons have a better shot than the Vikings do currently right now. But nobody should be surprised whatsoever that no hometown discount was taken. I know a lot of Vikings fans were holding out hope for that, but there has been no precedent whatsoever that Kirk Cousins has ever taken a discount. There just has been nothing about that. The man always gets his guaranteed money, as he has every right to do so. So if there's any Vikings fans that are disappointed and mad at Kirk about that, I'm sorry. You weren't being really realistic with yourself or the situation. Like, this is just kind of how he has always done business, and he is a businessman, so this should come as no surprise. So now, gentlemen, we are left in kind of this void. We don't have a stable quarterback at the moment, or at least a quarterback who has gotten us through a pretty decent 6 years. Obviously, you know, I would say overall the Kirk Cousins experiment with the Vikings didn't necessarily work out because he was ultimately brought in here to win a Super Bowl. But now we get to, you know, close this chapter of the book. We get to start a new chapter, and that so far right now is in the form of Sam Darnold, who signed a 1-year, $10 million deal with the Vikings. I think about $6 million of that is overall guaranteed. Guys, what this means to me is that we got our bridge quarterback, and this team is going to get their guy in the NFL draft. I don't know if they'll be able to get that person at 11. They might have to move up, or who knows? Maybe they even move down. We don't want them to move down, but we have to keep all scenarios open, I guess, especially when there's precedent that Kwesi has done it before. But guys, what are your reactions to Sam Darnold now being, as of right now, QB1 for the Minnesota Vikings? And do you agree with me? Do you think that this definitely means that we're taking a quarterback in the first round?
It has to be. Well, go ahead, AJ.
No. I want to hear you first. I want to hear you first.
It definitely means you're going quarterback first round. You have to go quarterback first round. Listen.
I know.
I said this last episode. We saw Russell Wilson sign for $1 million. $1 million, Russ. And I know Russ is not the Russ of old, but $1 million for Russ. I would have done it. Sam Darnold. He's had multiple years in his career where he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. Multiple years. Now, you got, what is this? I'm looking, 2018, you got a year where you, okay, 17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. The next year, 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Not terrible. Then you got 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Then you pick it up. He's not playing as much more. Back up now, 7-3, and then 2-1. It's just like he's going to give the ball up. He's going to give the ball up. That's why I'm just not. That's just one of the reasons
we like turnovers in this town, or just we had so many of them last year, we just couldn't help ourselves. Come on now.
No, Artis is exactly right. He's going to give the ball up, and he's going to do so to whatever quarterback they draft in 6 to 7 weeks. Sure, you're going to see it handed off to the opposite team a couple times in maybe weeks 1-7, but eventually the key interception is when that handoff eventually goes to whatever the predecessor or the successor is in the next Vikings era, the next Fran Tarkin, the next Dante Culpepper, the next Brett Favre, the next Kirk Cousins, whoever that may be. I think in 6 to 7 weeks at the draft, if you haven't yet, get your tickets for the Purple Daily Draft Party happening at the Fillmore in Minneapolis. Tickets online, go to scorenorth.com. Yeah, absolutely. Should be a fun time.
I'll try. I don't know if I can make it yet. Don't know yet.
Okay.
Not that anybody's clamoring to see me.
I am. I'm
clamoring. Oh, thank you.
Specifically, thank you.
All right, that's two.
But yeah, no. This is gonna make that night so much more fun, and that's selfish. That's selfish because frankly, I'm looking at the like my personal benefit there for the Vikings as a team. Look at what Kwesi has been able to do since we learned that. I will say this, credit to Kirk for not dilly dallying.
Yes,
thank you for letting it be known within an hour, 2 hours of that tampering period starting, because that allowed Kwesi to cook. Absolutely. Jonathan Greener.
Yes.
Get in here. That is fantastic. I'm going to have to look at Blake Cashman.
Yes, sir.
One of these.
Sky Uma, roll the boat.
One of the speediest linebackers in the NFL. Come on home. Get in purple. I want to say he's from Eden Prairie. I could be wrong there. He's Minnesota born, obviously played for the Gophers. I mean, that's a guy that just seems like was born to play Minnesota Vikings football.
Yeah. Aaron Jones.
And that's the other one. Aaron Jones. And that's
on a 1 year deal.
Sam Darnold can hand the ball off with the best of them. And it's going to look real silky smooth handing it off to number 33, Aaron Jones. Bring that sombrero, bring that charisma, bring all those running yards that we did not have, but you had over across the border last season, and put it in this backfield for purple. He's old-ish. Don't get me wrong. He was used goods from the Packers, but how many times have we seen that work out pretty well for the Vikings in the past?
It is
dirty as a deal it may sound dealing with former Packers. It seems to work out pretty prolifically for the Vikings. So I'm excited to see what Aaron Jones can do. And, you know, look, they got a kicker. They got a kicker that
they did. Yes.
I saw something Romo. Like, it's not Tony.
Parker Romo kicked to the XFL last year.
I saw a video of this guy kicking out in an empty stadium. 73 yards. Nailed it. 73 yards in wind.
As long as you see the little pins on the goalpost moving about, you know he's dealing with something.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Watch
out, Greg Joseph.
And now Eric Armstead is looking for a new home.
With
the reevaluating that we saw by the legend, future Hall of Famer, future Ring of Honor inductee Harrison Smith today, 1 year, $9 million, his 13th season, coming back for another year. In Minnesota, they might just be able to do it. Kwesi might just be able to make some magic happen. This is putting to bed all of the doubt that I had with some of these past drafts. I'm going to be able to look aside until 6 or 7 weeks from now when that next draft is, because Kwesi, right here, you got to hit a couple picks here. You got to hit a couple picks this year.
This is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Shock me. Move. Be aggressive if your heart tells you to be aggressive. I don't want to see you trade back unless the top four guys go 1, 2, 3, 4 and you get barred from any of those picks. Yeah, if there's a guy that you feel confident about, give up whatever you need to. And I think most importantly now, get JJ extended.
Yeah. And I don't want to be a complete downer on Sam Darnold. I'm just honest about it. I'm not the biggest fan. I will say this though, on the bright side, I don't know if he's ever had more weapons than what he has to throw the football to hand the football off to. I mean, he's putting the system now with a great head coach that knows how to scheme it up, you know, with great weapons, will be a great running game. And a defense that just got some pieces, yes, you know, Danielle Hunter won't be there, but you got some pieces, you know, on defense to fill other voids. Dude, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to pitch it to you, Jason. I said this last week, and I'm saying it again. And now I truly, firmly believe it. Dude, the Vikings are going to be serious next year. Now, this is what I will say. You have to hit on this quarterback.
Of course.
You have to hit on this quarterback. I am a Penix guy. I'm going to say it till draft day. If they find a way, and I think Penix is going to be there if you move back, which I don't think you should, but even if you move back, I think you'll be there. If they draft Penix, look out. I think at some point, and this is the thing I hope. I don't want the Vikings to be in a situation where you bring in Sam Darnold and Sam Darnold isn't playing that great, but he's just playing okay, and you got Penix waiting in the wing. And even though Penix is doing better in practice, we're going to give Sam Darnold. No. Penix is already a little up there in age.
Yeah, he's 26. Yeah.
Hey, if Sam Darnold is not playing well, do not hesitate to put the young guy in there and see what he's got. I think if they do that, dude, I really think the Vikings can be special. They're still adding pieces. They have a solid team in place. I think they can be special. I really do.
Yeah, and I totally get that, because if you look at last season with the quarterback carousel the Vikings went through, they really did that out of necessity because they were still trying to win games, right? They were trying to save their season, get back into it. They went on that long winning streak, and they gave themselves hope. And so they were looking for the next guy. They didn't care about potential last season. This season, the coaching staff can go in with that mindset that we are actually building for the future here. And therefore, if we feel that rookie quarterback is ready to go, then you're right, Artis. Then even if Sam Darnold has thrown 20 touchdowns and zero interceptions, well, if that's the case, we probably have to leave him in for a little bit longer. But even if Sam's playing competent, which I do expect him to do, I think Sam understands that this is a bridge position for him. He is here, so the next guy can take over for him. Ideally, Sam gets to play a little bit next season, but then that rookie quarterback just forces the Vikings' hand, and hopefully the Vikings have like a CJ Stroud kind of situation on their hands. Yeah, I mean, welcome to the scenario, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't have to commit this much money to your starting quarterback. I honestly, guys, I knew Kirk was gone when the Jonathan Greenard signing happened. I also knew Daniil was gone too, but when I saw them, like, all right, we are now paying for a premium pass rusher right here, even if he maybe wasn't like the top one on the market. I know that Jordan Wilkins, obviously, Danielle Hunter. But when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty convinced now the Vikings are operating with a lot of open money. And even though the Kirk news hadn't dropped, I knew it was an inevitability. I think we all did, but that was my confirmation. When Greenard signed, that was like, all right, Kirk is long gone. But then we got Blake Cashman too, like AJ mentioned. And obviously, Danielle Hunter went to the Texans. So we can kind of look at it, guys, as like, all right, we just traded Danielle Hunter for Blake Cashman and Jonathan Greenard. And frankly, considering the defensive line depth and the linebacker depth that the Vikings are dealing with right now, they don't have a lot. That's also why they signed, I think, Andrew Van, or what was the guy's name from the Dolphins? Van Ginkle. Yeah, Andrew Van Ginkle to a 2-year, $20 million deal as well. So clearly the Vikings saw this as like a need that they need to address. So yeah, I'm just happy Daniel didn't go to like the Bears or the Lions. They had been rumored for a long time that they might have been the leaders to get Daniel, maybe even the Jaguars. I hadn't heard the Texans' name come up at all, so I was like fairly surprised when I heard about the Texans. But considering they had some guys leaving free agency for them too, no surprise for me about that. And I'm happy for Daniel. I think it was a $49 million deal. 48 of that guaranteed, all but $1 million not guaranteed. Congratulations, Daniil. You absolutely deserve it because you got screwed over in your second contract. Even though it was very team-friendly for the Vikings, it was not friendly for the player, and it was one of the weirdest contracts in Vikings history. Yeah, it's just, this is an offseason, guys, we've never really gotten to deal with in like the last 6 years with Kirk Cousins being on the roster, because I don't remember really just the slew of moves and getting to see everything that happened with the Vikings, all these names coming in, and just when you have the money to do so, it's just absolutely incredible. And honestly, the thing that got me to smile the most was the fact that we brought in Aaron Jones. Like AJ said, it's always great to bring in a Green Bay Packer. It's always great to convert another non-believer to the Church of Purple. But what I'm most happy about is that we got him for a one-year deal when it seemed like the market for running backs, this NFL free agency, was hot, hot, hot. A lot of multi-year deals for a lot of running backs. Saquon, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard. I'm sitting here, guys, pretty thankful that we got one of those quality running backs, but we also didn't have to give them a multi-year contract as well. That's what I'm most happy about with Aaron Jones. How about you guys?
I'm just happy about what I believe the production will be. I mean, dude's a stud at the end of the day. Like, yeah, he's splitting carries with A.J. Dillon for a period of time, but he can ball. And we saw this past playoffs what he can do as well. I mean, he could literally take over a game. He can dominate a game. And so ton of playoff experience, ton of big game experience, and that's what you need. That is what you need, especially if you're bringing in a Sam Darnold or you're bringing in a rookie quarterback. You need that guy you can hand the ball off to outside of the weapons on the outside and say, hey, bro, I need you to run for 130 today, maybe a touchdown or two if possible. You know, that's Amen. Nice, you know. And then you can also catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, use him in the screen game. So, I mean, he's great. Hey, you know, the Packers like the back of his hand. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that can help a little bit as well, you know. I just think I'm not going to say that was the best signing, but definitely one of the best signings that the Vikings had. I mean, I think that's special. And again, like that offense – you know, Colin Cowherd said it, like, it's like a furnished apartment is what he said already for a quarterback. Like, you have almost everything you need now. You know, obviously you got to do something. You got to figure out the situation with Justin Jefferson. But you have everything you need if you bring him back, obviously, for an offense to really flourish. And I feel like Aaron Jones was really the cherry on top. I wouldn't have been mad if it was a two-year deal, as long as the price was right. I wouldn't have been mad at that. Because I do think he's going to be just that productive.
Yeah.
In purple this upcoming season. So I wouldn't have been mad at that. But yeah, I loved it. And I was shocked, honestly. And I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not a Packers fan, but from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And – one of my friends, like, he like DM'd me a quote. I forget exactly what the quote said. Long story short, Packer fans are hot. They're not happy about this at all. I mean, they are upset. I mean, they're not, you know, saying that he's dead to me, like how Tiki Barber said about Saquon.
Oh my goodness.
But they are not happy with him at all. And so I think that's an interesting dynamic that Vikings fans should enjoy.
So wait, are they more unhappy that he just got cut in general and he's a fan favorite, or they just don't like the Josh Jacobs contract? Because
when I heard
the news about that, I was pretty surprised. One, because the Packers hardly ever pay free agents, but also two, 4 years for a running back.
It's
I don't
got
know,
nothing
man.
To do with Josh Jacobs. Yeah. It's the fact that they didn't anticipate losing. He's a fan favorite. They didn't anticipate losing him, and they definitely didn't anticipate him being in purple. That's what it is. Oh, Josh Jacobs, great so running nice. Back in the league, but it's like most Packer fans I talk to are like, yeah, he's nice, but man, did he have to go to the Vikings? The Vikings of all teams? Like, yeah, he had to go to the Vikings. I mean, that's what he chose to do, so... Y'all got a stud at running back. So
Aaron also tweeted something out too. Like he quoted a reporter that was basically saying how things went down, you know, how everything ended. And basically Aaron said, I don't know. There's always three sides to a story. Mm. So he's got his side to tell in all this about exactly how everything went down with the Packers. And he was asked to take a pay cut last year. So even if things were like good between him and the organization, I mean, you can only ask a guy to take a pay cut so many times before it's just like, all right, I got to actually go try to make money somewhere else. And it just so happened he just went right across the border and joined the Minnesota Vikings, who, look, I mean, Ty Chandler is great and everything, and we definitely were optimistic after Alexander Mattison got cut about him potentially being an RB1, but I think we all agreed that the Vikings needed to add some depth, maybe through the draft. I didn't think it would be through free agency. I really didn't. I'm always hesitant to, you know, spend on running backs in free agency in general, especially ones that are on their second contracts, like a lot of these guys, like the Tony Pollards are and stuff like that. But a one-year deal, totally fine with it. Former Packer, now a Viking. And, you know, I'm excited to get a running back that was kind of like prime Dalvin Cook back involved with this offense a little bit, because Dalvin Cook and his prime also wore number 33. He could catch in the backfield and he was quick and he could also hit the hole. I'm more excited about Aaron Jones, the pass catcher, than I am the runner, to be honest with you. I think he's going to be implemented more in that way. And then you do maybe Ty Chandler doing the more north to south kind of stuff, or whoever other running back they may bring in. I know Cam Akers was potentially on the fence of coming back, but I think the Vikings just did something to not necessarily avoid a contract, but kind of make him an unrestricted free agent, I believe. So I don't know if there's a chance of Cam Akers coming back. But yeah, Sam Darnold and whoever our rookie quarterback is going to be have a lot of good, nice things to work with going into this season. Now, to go back to your question, Artis, in terms of just what kind of special things this Minnesota Vikings team can do this season, I'm hesitant just because, I mean, the precedent when you do get a rookie quarterback is that you do start a little bit slow. He's getting in the mix of things. But the comeback to that is, look what the Texans did with C.J. Stroud
exactly. This
past season. I understand that.
Everybody's not C.J., but still.
Right, exactly. So don't get me wrong. Like, that's definitely a possibility, but I'm expecting growing pains. I'm leaving myself room for that to potentially happen, no matter who the quarterback is, if it's J.J. McCarthy, or if we wait later in the draft to get like a Penix or a Bo Nix, or maybe we move up into the top three. I mean, I think it's pretty much guaranteed now. I mean, I still don't know what the Chicago Bears are doing with Justin Fields. I don't think they know what they're doing with Justin Fields. If they go into training camp with Fields and Caleb Williams on the roster, that'll just be so Chicago Bears and so funny. But we just saw the Patriots bring back Jacoby Brissett. We just saw the Raiders bring in Gardner Minshew. We're seeing these other teams also bring in bridge quarterbacks. I think it's pretty fair to say that anybody that brought in a bridge quarterback is probably going to draft a quarterback as well. And last time I checked, Vegas is behind us in the draft order. So I'm now kind of a little worried that Vegas might do something to leap ahead in the draft order and go get their guy. Even though it was a 2-year deal with Minshew, I still would expect Vegas to potentially leapfrog the Vikings. I'm a little worried about that.
But to AJ's point, this is where Kwesi shows what he can do.
This is true.
This is what you show what you can do. Now, Kirk is, you know, not in the picture. That's not the guy. That may have been his guy, maybe not, right? But now he's gone. Now this is a period where you can kind of rebuild the team, rebuild the franchise, rebuild the confidence of the fans that really wanted Kirk, and, you know, add to the confidence of the fans that really wanted Kirk gone. Like, this is his time to shine. Find your guy. Obviously, it's not going to be Caleb Williams. He's probably going to go number one. Probably won't be Drake May. Probably won't be Jalen Daniels either. Fine. But find your guy, right? Because sometimes those guys that go high don't even pan out. So find your guy. Figure out who that is and go get him. Go get him. Find out how to do it and go get him. You know, that's what it's all about. That I think hey, get aggressive. Like AJ said, go get him.
Yeah, and I think the Sam Darnold signing, I really hope that means that they've identified somebody in this draft and they realize, all right, that person's going to be a stud. Let's go get this person.
Oh,
and let's get this bridge quarterback in the meantime. And it's so be it. It's Sam Darnold. So
I bet, I mean, they have to have people in mind because look at the plan they've had clearly laid out in place. They've had a plan A, which was, and maybe that doesn't mean like a higher priority because we saw that, you know, that clearly they were like, hey, we're not going to match this. There's no chance we're matching this. Go ahead, Kirk.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. But plan A, for the sake of labeling it, was let's just extend Kirk. And then here's probably what we have that we can work with money-wise to try to make things fill out the team. Plan B, Kirk is no longer here. We have our list of bridge guys that we want to go after. Maybe a Drew Locke was on the list. Maybe Russ, to your point, Artis, was on the list. They settled on Sam Darnold, you know, but now you saw immediately like, okay, Kirk is gone. How are we going to use all of this cap that we now have allocated to us because he's no longer here? So the fact that they had a plan in place there also tells me they had an idea of what they're going for in the draft now. So I bet you they have on a board, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 3A, 3B, depending on how things shift and just how things fall. Because they're at 11. If we want to get dicey and spicy, Tankathon has a mock draft that has J.J. McCarthy being there at 11 for the Vikings. Do they want to move up? It has Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May going 1, 2, 3. No other QB until 11 where J.J. McCarthy goes to purple. But it's a mock draft with no trades, which because it's Tankathon. I'm not gonna crap on Tankathon. I love Tankathon, but like there's gonna be trades. We know there's gonna be trades. So do with that what you will. I assume they're probably gonna have to get up inside the top like 9 or 8 if they want to get McCarthy. Okay. But that tells me they have an idea of who they want to go after. Not to take a random ricochet shot at Jason here, but thankfully, it was reported that nobody from the Vikings was at Bo Nix's Pro Bowl day.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
I heard that too.
So,
whatever.
To only keep the offseason cooking along, shout out to you, Kwesi. I'm glad we know that
he's not it.
Hey,
senior citizen is not the right guy.
Yeah, I just got to get him drafted over Penix. That's it. And $20 is mine, and I can go straight to Kohl's, baby. Straight to Kohl's. By the way, last thing on Kirk. We should have known this was coming, guys. The state of Georgia has 33 Kohl's department stores. The state of Minnesota only has 28. We should have known. We should have known. So, but now we get to recklessly speculate what the plan for the Vikings is going to be at quarterback as the draft approaches. That's going to be a lot of fun, guys, that we're going to talk about all these names, maybe even some other non-quarterbacks the Vikings could target in the draft as well. And depending on, you know, I'm sure there might be other free agency moves, other players that could be cut as well as we go along. And we'll, of course, bring you all the news here on the Taxi Squad, and we'll let you know what the Vikings' plan is. Speaking of plans, I kind of wonder what the plan is for the Minnesota Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns. Now, granted, it's been about a week since Karl went down with his meniscus injury, and I believe he's had surgery to repair that. Hopefully he can be back for the playoffs. I saw him post on Insta or one of the social media sites of Goku in his like echo chamber, like healing and like I'm getting ready and stuff. But challenge nonetheless, guys, for these Timberwolves. And it's just tough luck. It just really is. It was such a devastating just news waking up to that, just hearing that Karl was going to be out for extended amount of time. But the Wolves were able to go 2-2 within the week. An epic win against the Indiana Pacers. That block by Anthony Edwards, man. I mean, that is the stuff of Michael Jordan. I'm just going to say it out loud because there were replays of side-by-side comparisons of blocks by MJ and Ant doing the same thing, damn near hitting their heads on the rim. It was so epic. And then you have a little bit of a letdown against the Cavs. We have Rudy Gobert implying that the refs might be making calls based on money. He was fined $100,000 for that. And then it wasn't a tough loss against the Lakers. Artis was definitely happy with that, but the Wolves sat some guys. Rudy Gobert didn't play, but then great win against the Clippers the other night. When you were down 22, you came back on the road against one of the teams you are fighting at the top of the Western Conference playoff spots for. Unfortunately, the Wolves are no longer the number one seed. As of right now, they're half game back. That breaks a long-standing record, I think, here on the Taxi Squad of the Wolves being the number one overall seed. When we've recorded that, that streak ends, unfortunately. Artis, AJ, I think the Wolves were able to weather the storm a little bit with Karl Anthony Towns going down. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's still got a whole lot of storm left to weather. I'm not going to lie. It's a whole lot to weather. But one thing I will say, though, is, you know, I'm encouraged. I really am. Because one thing I will say on a bad note is, man, the offense. Boy, oh, boy, the offense looks rough sometimes without Kat on the floor. Like, you can say what you want about Kat. I know some people love him. Some people can't stand him. But, like, you can't deny his impact. And he is hard to replace. Nas Reed has stepped up and played really big. Anthony, dude, you brought up the Pacers game. Anthony Edwards is sensational. Oh, my goodness. I'm watching that game on my phone. He got the last, like, five buckets. Mm. The block, I nearly dropped everything that was in the area. Mm. Almost got snapped on by my lady. I'm sorry. Dude, I was like, what did I just watch? And then you see the instant replay, and like you said, you see him literally, like, smack his head on the rim, come down on his wrist. I'm like, is he okay?
Thank he's God he's fine.
Is he okay? He pops up talking trash. I'm like, this dude is on another level. One thing I will say, though, is, you know, the Cavs game was kind of annoying for me because everybody wanted to focus on the officiating and all of that stuff. But what is not being talked about is Nas Reed having like a career day. Like, mm-hmm. He went off offensively. And I think in part they lost that game down the stretch because they went to Ant too much. You know, they got to figure out when Ant doesn't have it going, go to the hot hand. Nas had the hot hand. He was the one kind of going off in the fourth. And if you watch that instant replay towards the end of the game, towards the end of regulation, he's coming open at the top of the key for a three-point shot for the game. But instead, you throw the ball down to the corner to Anthony Edwards, and he's got this weird fadeaway shot, and it's like, that's off. Even the play before that, he got fouled on like Cavs had a foul to give, and, you know, he just took a free shot. He hit all glass. I'm like, bro, Ant is off. Like,
Unless he's trying to do those bank shots, which
I got fouled, but let me get one of those like warm up shots, if I could get all glass. I'm like, oh my goodness. Ooh. Okay, Ant don't need to take this shot. Give it to Nas, he's the one cooking, and sure enough, they give it to Ant and he practically airballs and they lose in overtime, you know, and then you got, you know, what's his name getting Rudy getting ejected.
That was the most disappointing game of Rudy's career as a Minnesota Timberwolf. I'm just going to say it right
now. Yeah, he's missing.
In a season where we need him to be the adult in the room, where we're talking about Anthony Edwards complaining to the refs, where we've, you know, had to talk about Karl Anthony Towns complaining to the refs through his entire career, where we need that maturity, that stability on this team right now, especially when one of our star players is injured and we are in the thick of the playoff race with like 20 games left, we can't have our quote-unquote leader in the locker room doing crap like that. Refs have been bad this season. I get it, and I know you feel disrespected, Wolves. I know, but you just can't do that. It sets a bad precedent for the younger guys on the team, like Anthony Edwards. Not that Ant is now going to go and just flash the money sign all around anytime like a ref gives him a call that he doesn't like. That's not what's going to happen. But I just thought this whole time Rudy has been the calming presence for this team to not get caught up by the referees. He's even mentioned it in postgame press conferences saying that, you know, I'm not too worried about it. I'm just going to go out there and play my game. Well, clearly he was worried about it and clearly it boiled over and he got frustrated and he did that. And, you know, he sat out the next game against the Lakers. I don't know if that was due to rest. I don't know if that was kind of a de facto team suspension a little bit, because a lot of people thought Rudy was going to get suspended for those gestures. And ultimately, I mean, $100,000 fine is pretty damn hefty as it is.
Yeah.
But now is not the time where I need to be questioning Rudy Gobert's maturity right now, Artis. Not when Karl is out. Not when we are in the thick of this number one seed in the Western Conference. I can't be having this. We've things have calmed down a little bit. He had an awesome game against the Clippers. That was great. But still, I don't want to see any of that again from the guy that we consider the top leader, the top mature guy on this team.
Conley might have something to say about that.
You're right.
I do get your point. Like it was a bad moment. And you know, leading up to that moment, he did get some weird calls, like the post up where he was posting up and he tried to, you know, do the classic center where he tried to do the elbow turn or whatever it's called, where he's trying to, you know, the post move, right? He got called for a flagrant, I believe, like a flagrant one on that. Like it was some weird officiating, but like it was kind of like lead this to the fans. The fans was thinking that, but at the same time, and it cost them the game at OT. It really did.
And at the same time, Jared Allen's just kicking your butt, dude. I'm sorry, I have to say it. Jared Allen had a great game against you. You're frustrated because he was doing better against you.
And the scary part about it is without Rudy, like, yes, without Cat offensively, you're hurting. But like the highlight of this team is the defense. It's not the offense. The defense holds it together, and the offense kind of feeds off the defense. That's what I get from it. When Rudy is unavailable, oh, my goodness. It's you saw how they looked in overtime. The Laker game, Anthony Davis just went berserk.
Who could guard him?
Rudy, you got to be on the – especially with Cat out, you got to be on it. Like, with Cat on the floor, maybe you could outscore some teams potentially if he goes off, if Ant goes off. But, like, without Cat, Rudy has to be on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, it's – so, I mean, but all in all, 2-2, you're the third seed. I'm not ready to say the Wolves are done by any stretch.
No.
They got a lot of heart. They got a lot of grit. The Clippers game, you saw a ton of that. Like you said, down 22, you come back and you win by like 20. Anthony Edwards goes off again. Boy,
Nikhil Alexander Walker, my friend.
Bro, the defense, the offense. Nas also played. You kind of rolled his ankle, but you know, still had a good week. They have a lot of grit and a lot of heart that I can respect. And that's why I refuse to say that they're done even without Cat. But I will admit, in order to make the type of run that we hope for them to make, boy, they're going to need Cat. And last thing I'll say quickly, and I'll pitch it back to you. I don't care what no one says. This game on the 19th of March against the Nuggets, must win. Gotta have it.
Is that a Target Center?
Yes,
it is.
Gotta have it. It's the last home game you'll play against the Denver Nuggets, and you need it because the last thing you want is the Nuggets finishing above you when it comes to, you know, seeding and playoff standings. You do not want that. Even if they beat you out and finish above you, they still have a shot at the one seed. You really don't want that.
No.
I know a lot of people are like, no, Cat, they're going to lose. No, you're at home. You're playing inspired basketball. It's possible. What's the score? They playing the Heat right now. I'm waiting on the score to pop up. Maybe.
Here it is. Timing is everything. They're only up like six against
Miami. Like, you can beat this team. I was waiting on it.
I hate that court. Miami, for those of you who don't know, the Miami Heat, you know, everybody does a fancy court now. Everybody's got custom courts. Well, Miami just says Heat culture.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you have to put the words Heat culture on your basketball court to say you got Heat culture, you don't got Heat culture. Just going to say that right now. Heat culture ain't braggadocious. But whatever, Pat Riley can do whatever he wants.
You got hate culture.
I'm just a hater.
Beat the Nuggets, though, man. It's a must win, bro. Gotta have it.
And if you don't mind, could you beat the Utah Jazz in the two games beforehand?
Should be a gimme.
One of those weird. The NBA started doing this during COVID, where they've had NBA teams play in the same city back to back games. So they got back to back games in Utah. That might be a little tough. I don't know. We'll see. But they should take care of business. Walker Kessler's going to have like a 30-point, 20-rebound game in both of those games or something like
that. Any updates on Rudy? Have you seen any updates on Rudy real quick?
No broken bones. Okay, I heard that much at least. He said that himself after the game. Hopefully it's just like a bone bruise, nothing too big. I haven't seen anything more about it today, although I've been pretty locked in with all the stuff that's been going on with the Vikings, but I hadn't seen anything come through my news feed about anything going on. So hopefully he will be okay and will be able to be out there for those Jazz games and his return to Utah. Speaking of returns, The Minnesota Wild actually got a lot in return for the trades that they made at the NHL deadline, as a matter of fact. AJ Fredrickson, more moves than honestly I anticipated, because I just didn't really know how much Bill Guerin's hands felt tied just with everything that's going on with, you know, the contract that he's given out, the Parisian Suter buyout still being effective and everything, and just, you know, just how much competitive fire he has as a general manager. But the Wild still made some moves. Brandon Duhaime, he was the guy that the Wild got the most back in return. Traded to the Avalanche for a 2026 third rounder. Pat Maroon on his way to Boston for Luke Toporowski, I believe I'm saying his name right, and a 2026 sixth rounder. And then Connor Dewar on his way to Toronto, 2026 fourth rounder. I think you're sensing a theme here. A lot of 2026 picks being dished out. But pretty active deadline for the Minnesota Wild, AJ. Not to expect it, not really terribly unexpected considering their place in the standings. They're 7 points back, and we all kind of think that's going to be a lot for them to kind of move up in the standings. But still, they got some value here for some of these deals. What do you think of them?
Yeah, and also just to add on here, they also made a trade with the New York Rangers. They got Turner Ellison for Nick Paton. That's just a minor league deal, so
sure,
both those guys go to the AHL. That six-round pick with Boston in exchange for Patty Maroon is a conditional six-round pick, so the Wild get it if he plays one playoff game for the Bruins. Because he's about 2 weeks out from returning from surgery, so it's a matter of, like, will they, won't they? I bet you they probably do, because I think he fits in their lineup just fine. He's a big, tough guy, and that's Boston Bruin hockey. And then in that trade, Connor Dewar to Toronto, they got back that 2026 fourth rounder, and then a AHL guy named Dmitry Ovchinnikov. Doesn't sound like a lot. But frankly, there were like two or three like pretty big deals. Everything else, the market was down. I was hoping that it was not, because I think they could have moved a guy like Philip Gustafson. His play, that would have been tough. Leading up to the trade deadline was pretty abysmal, and now we're seeing, you know,
I mean, has he been essentially benched a little bit at this point? Because Fleury's playing
Fleury
so well.
Marc-Andre Fleury has been the go-to goaltender here recently, because he's been playing so hot, which is kind of embarrassing considering that he's like 38. Obviously a future Hall of Famer. Second all time in NHL wins, but just like, you know, at the start of the season, that was not the plan whatsoever. And then, you know, maybe they could have done a guy like Zach Bogosian. They decided to actually extend him. Jake Middleton, he's done in 2 years with the Wild. They would have to extend him past that point. His value probably isn't going to get much higher than it is now. We didn't hear anything about that, but that being said, why stir the pot if there's nothing to stir, I guess, to begin with? You don't want to ruffle any feathers. So it was an okay trade deadline, I would say, but the part of it is they were so handcuffed because of moves made this past offseason by Bill Guerin, with handing out a good handful of no move, no trade clauses that essentially kind of put you in a terrible spot if you're the Wild. So, you know, for what they could do, I'll give them a pat on the back, but it's going to be a little harder than probably a gentle, like, congratulatory pat, because I'm like, hey, shouldn't have handed out all those no moves. So, yeah. And now where we stand, you get a pretty unimpressive, and I know you're going to look at the box score and you're saying, but AJ, they won 4-1 last night. What do you mean? It was an unimpressive win. Okay.
So it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
No, Coyotes are not good.
It was a win against the Coyotes. Nick Bjugstad has now scored 4 goals in your barn this season.
He loves it here.
The Blaine native.
It's insane. Nick Bjugstad, I mean, I don't remember this type of production when he was with the Wild. It's just, I don't get it. Even when he plays the Wild, he just turns into a completely different player.
So here's where they stand, gentlemen. Right now, they are the first spot out of a wild card playoff spot. They have 71 points. They trail the wild card 2 spot of the Vegas Golden Knights with 77.
And who did they just trade for, AJ?
They traded for Tomas Hertl.
Yes, so they're going to be quite competitive, even though they are currently in that spot.
Yeah,
right now.
Mark Stone, lacerated spleen, goes on LTIR.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'll trust doctors, but like, we've seen this too. It's very coincidental that Mark Stone happens to get hurt enough to go on LTIR between the dates of February 6th and February 20th every year for the past 3 or 4 years. It's awfully awfully convenient, is what I'll say.
Especially if he could potentially come back when the salary cap opens up come playoff time.
Yeah, great. First off, mini rant. Insane by the NHL to not have a rule for this. For the time of the season where things should matter most, the playoffs, all of a sudden you're telling me that the one thing that every team has to abide by, the salary cap, all of a sudden is thrown out the window. It's just the Wild West. It's the Bermuda Triangle where, like, you can just rob people and, like, yo, we can, our team is actually worth $200 million.
We're the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Guys, just insane. Just insane. Teams have been exploiting it. Credit to Vegas because they clearly have figured out the equation. Back to the standings here. Vegas, a game in hand over the Wild, leading them by 6 points. Nashville with 78 points, dead on at 66 games played so far on the season. So they lead the Wild by 7. And if you want to go up, there's really no point in looking. 87 points for both the Jets and Avalanche, and then 89 points for your Central Division leading Dallas Stars. So the Wild, they're not dead, is what I'll say. And frankly, they were never going to be dead at this point of the season. They're too good of a team, and they have guys like Kirill Kaprizov, who we saw once again last night. Yeah. Single-handedly will this team to be in a position to win and eventually do win. He's healthy again, and I love seeing that. But Kirill, God, you're just so good at hockey.
I know. We love it. Keep being good at hockey too. We love it, but you're, man.
The problem is he doesn't have a supporting cast. It's like putting Justin Timberlake out front of a boy band, and then the other three guys are us three. You know, you got
man. No,
I don't know. I can't speak for both of you, but I can't dance or sing, and I'm not easy on the eyes. So like, there's a lot.
I got a little rhythm. That's about it, though. Can't sing for nothing.
Give me some liquid luck, and I'll definitely get there eventually too. Oh, maybe a little bourbon.
It'd be like Justin Timberlake and the Trash Street Band or something like that. I don't know. It'd
Justin Timberlake and the Taxi Squad. It's already here for us.
But this is the problem with the Wild. Like they're good, but they're not good. That sounds like they're good against teams that are bad, but they're just not good enough to actually win if they get into the playoffs. First off, I think they're given like a 21% chance today to make the playoffs. If they get in, they're not doing anything. They're going to get matched up with a powerhouse of a team that's going to be amped up thinking, hey, we're going to steamroll this opponent and go on to the next round in 4 or 5 games. If they get to 6, I think it'd be a miracle. So it's just frustrating because we're in the same spot. And a month and a half ago, we were talking about, oh, we're looking at like a top 5 pick potentially for the Wild. Nope, we're going to be drafting. they're going to be drafting 13th, 14th. And, you know, we're going to have to see who they can get. And it's not going to be really anyone super impactful at this point.
Hey, you never know. Maybe Marat Yuznadinov comes in here, lights the lamp up, leads the Wild to an improbable playoff berth. And, you know, in the NHL, you know, you kind of, and more so than any other sport, you just kind of got to get in. And then you can maybe do what the Florida Panthers did last year. Although, look what the Florida Panthers are this year. I think that was a precursor of things to come. And that was just a good team finally popping at that time. Do we have a timeline of when he's going to start playing with us, AJ? I'm just glad we were able to get him over here because obviously it was kind of a mild ordeal getting Kirill over here and just getting Yuznadinov over here he's like 21 years old still. That makes me happy that we were able to get this Russian over here in a more speedy timeline than we did Kirill. But is he going to start playing here pretty quick?
Yeah, he was actually going to play. He was hoping to make his debut, yesterday. He was going to play yesterday against the Coyotes. The system packages, just adjusting to the timing, like the time zones. When he got here, he went and he grabbed lunch like the first or second day with Kirill Kaprizov. And he was like, you know, noticeably tired. And Kirill goes, hey, go home, like take an hour nap. Well, let's meet up for dinner. He went home. He laid down. He slept for like 7 hours, slept past dinner with Kaprizov. Kaprizov's texting like, hey, buddy, where are you? Like, I'm at dinner here.
That's awesome.
So he has been practicing. He is expected to make his debut tomorrow against the Ducks at home. So should be a fun time. Marat Yuznadinov. I'm excited to see him. He's great. He's great on his skates. He is speedy. He's agile. He's smooth and silky, and he's got great stick handling. He's maybe not the biggest guy, but frankly, he is a addition to this lineup that I think is going to be much needed. I'm very excited. He's not going to be like a superstar. I want to let's temper expectations maybe a little bit. He's not going to come in and be a superstar. I think he's eventually going to be a solid top 6 forward, but not like a, you know, this is not a Sidney Crosby. This is not a Connor McDavid. We are not adding that to the Minnesota Wild. This is a very solid. I'm not going to say role player because I think he's a little higher than that, but this is a guy that you're going to see in the lineup and say, yep, he's going to produce. He's going to benefit the team. I'm glad he's wearing green. So I'm looking forward to see, getting Kuznetsov in the lineup, hopefully tomorrow against the Ducks.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And you know what? If he could score an overtime goal where John Hines pulls the goaltender again, that would be absolutely fantastic. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I just wrote in my notes, is John Hines now the Dan Campbell of the NHL? You know what I mean? Just risking it and taking a crazy chance. I don't know. I mean, I know that game was on TNT and the broadcasters absolutely loved it. And people were talking about, hey, did John Hines just start a new trend in the NHL where you actually pull your goaltender in overtime when you're that desperate of a team? It was a crazy sequence, AJ, but it was a whole lot of fun. And you know what? It worked. And the Wild needed those 2 points. And they definitely couldn't give those points up to Nashville more than anybody.
Yeah. And frankly, I kind of love it because like, either way, it benefits you. You either get 0 points, so in like you're already kind of behind the eight ball on the playoff push as is. So you got to overtime. Why not forfeit the point and just try? But then they get the 2 points, and that obviously benefits them there. So,
so even awesome,
Fleury, though, who's you know been around since I don't know when, since the mid 2000s, he was like, oh, I didn't know that rule. It makes sense as to why, you know, why wouldn't teams do it more often? But yeah, that makes sense. For everybody who is unaware, if you pull your goalie and lose in overtime in the NHL in the regular season, you forfeit the point that you initially earned by getting to overtime, like the extra period. So the Wild, they went for two to win the game, except the ball was spotted at the line of scrimmage on like the 25-yard line, and they had one shot to do it. So to put it in football terminology.
But it was flawlessly executed, though, AJ. The puck didn't even leave their zone. They scored, like, 15 seconds after they pulled the goalie, too? It was a perfect game plan. I don't know if that's something they've drawn up in practice a few times. Really exciting and injected a little life into, you know, I'm sure Wild fans are probably down about seeing some players, maybe some popular players getting traded away. To have something like that happen this week was definitely something that I think Wild fans definitely needed. But still, we've had a busy week here in Minnesota with all the sports going on. Obviously, Kirk Cousins, no longer a Minnesota Viking, guys. He's on to the Atlanta Falcons. Best of luck to you, Kirk. We got Sam Darnold now, but we're going to draft a quarterback, and that's going to be really exciting, and we're going to break all of that down over the next month or so here on the Taxi Squad and on Score North and across Purple Daily, everything that we got going on here at Score North. Guys, any final thoughts before we wrap up the show today?
Check out Four Wolves Takes, man.
Yes.
Check it out. It's out. Yes. It dropped last night. So y'all, you know, all the Wolves fans, check it out, man. I'm bringing optimism to the table because I truly believe the Wolves are not done. So if you also believe the same thing or you just need a punch of optimism, check out Four Wolves Takes. It is out now.
Very good. Okay, I don't think AJ has anything to
say. No, check out my show, Five Wolves. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that'd be great.
It's essentially artists is the same exact show, and I just make up something at the end and call it a 15. No, I'm just
coming soon. That's good stuff. All right, fellas. We'll keep breaking down Vikings news as it happens over the next couple months. Obviously, the big free agent dominoes have fallen. Yes, AJ, go ahead.
Really quick, I know we are approaching the start of baseball season with MLB opening today, like end of March here. That's coming up. Score North just launched a brand new Score North Twins show channel on YouTube. All of our Twins content, pretty much led by our very own Declan Goff, will be only appearing on that channel. It'll still be posted as normally on the Mackie and Judd, like Spotify, Apple Podcast feeds, as well as just the normal Twin show feed. But for the visual content, YouTube, it's only going to be on the Twin Show YouTube page. Make sure to go subscribe. We just launched that earlier this week. And huge news, we'll have recurring guest Trevor Plouffe joining the Twin Show every Tuesday throughout the Twin season. That should be a blast. I'm excited for that announcement. Plouffe is a great guy. He's done a lot of stuff with like John Boy Media and their baseball breakdowns. And so to have him join the Score North team, even on just a weekly basis, is a massive get. And I'm excited for that to start.
So much fun. Yeah, check out the channel as soon as possible. Well, check out Taxi Squad first, and then please go check out the channel and everything. But yeah, excited to bring Trevor along and just excited to keep the content churning for you Minnesota sports fans. We'll keep doing it here on Taxi Squad. We'll check you guys next week. I'm Jason Stormer, AJ Fredrickson, and Artis Woods, and we'll catch you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you.